chapter 14. This doesn't have anything to do with what I'm preaching on tonight, but I had a thought in our Sunday school class. I was sitting there while we were doing the lesson, and I shared it with them, and I was telling Sherry, me and Sherry came here a little earlier, and we were sitting in here and talking about it. And I had this thought here, just think about the early church in the book of Acts. When they met, the Bible says they met every day, met daily. And man, they had joy, they had fellowship, they broke bread together. The fear of God was upon the congregation and all. You know, they didn't have the Bible. Now think about this, think about church, think about us. They might have had some Old Testament scriptures probably by then. See, once they got saved, they probably understood the Old Testament was pointing to Christ, but they didn't have much. I mean, they didn't have books. They didn't have a Baptist bookstore down on the corner, right? So we think about this. We came to church and we didn't have the Bible. What would we be doing? Well, do what? Yeah, now you're talking. That's right. Talking. Here's the thing. See, but sometimes I've done this before. I say, well, you know, tell me what Jesus is doing in your life. Go ahead and hit the crickets, Daryl. Chirp, 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 chirp. That's all. You know, everybody's. Yeah, that's what they talked about. They talked about what Jesus was doing in their life. And they said, man, they got in there and they were excited, man. I mean, people were getting saved. And they talked about that. They got around and they got together. Boy, they were having dinner, a fellowship dinner. They were sharing, what Christ was doing in their life. Of course, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you got the love of Christ that's shed abroad in your hearts. They had love flowing out for one for another, man. I mean, they was just talking about Jesus, you know, what he did, the resurrected Christ. That's what they talked about. I mean, they weren't talking about football games and deer hunting, elk hunting. They weren't talking about, all that. I mean, they were talking about what God did. Just think about it. So just think, what would we do if we got together as a fellowship and we don't have the Word of God? All we have is the testimony of God, what God's done in our life, what God's doing in somebody else's life. That's what they talked about. I mean, we should still be talking about those things. We should still be talking about and sharing about those things as well. So just food for thought. Something came to my mind, how they had a operation like that. Of course, they had Jesus. I mean, they had Jesus. That's who you need. This is the Word, but it's about Jesus. I mean, that's it. In Matthew 14, verse 22, and the Bible says and straightaway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him and to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word. We're thankful that we do have your Word with us today. And Lord, we're thankful for salvation, your Holy Spirit moving in our lives and moving in our church. We thank you for those that's recently been saved. We thank you for those baptized today. I pray you speak to our hearts tonight as we look to your Word. Lord, help us. Help us to focus. Focus on you, the main thing. Lord, I'll put that into your hands tonight, and trust you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I told you this morning that the title of the message tonight was going to be focus. You know, help. We got to get focused a lot of times. Of course, you have to focus on the right thing. We look at Jesus here. Jesus said, I know I kind of read right in the middle of something going on or what's been going on, but Jesus was having or had a busy day. He had learned first about John the Baptist, that he had been murdered. On his humanity side, John the Baptist was a relative of Jesus through Mary. Mary and John the Baptist's mother were cousins, and Elizabeth. And so he had found out about his death. And actually over in, and I didn't read there, but in chapter 14, verse 13, in verse 12, it says his disciples came and took up the body of John the Baptist and buried it and went and told Jesus. And in verse 13 said, and when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot thereof and followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them and healed their sick. So we understand that had taken place. And then the very next event right in relation to that. So John the Baptist had died in his flesh, a relative of his, in his spirit, another Christian man. He was not, a prophet at that. He said about John the Baptist, there was none greater, born of a woman, that there was none greater than John the Baptist. And now he'd been murdered by Herod. And so, he went into a mountain to pray, but people wouldn't leave him alone. And the people followed him out. He had compassion, and he healed the sick. I imagine that he taught and he preached. And then evening came, and that's when he was the feeding of the 5,000. And so they had to take up the loaves and the fishes, and they fed the 5,000. And now when all that's done, at the end of the day, it's towards the end of the day after that, this is when we come to our text, 22 and 23, and he sent the disciples on in their ship. He said, get into a ship, go on to the other side. He sent the multitudes away. And in verse 23, after when he had sent that, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. Now he went apart again, and when evening has come, he was there alone. I mean, I think one of the things that he was doing, just kind of getting away, rest was certainly one of the things that he would have been doing. But I think also regroup. He was trying to refocus, get refreshed, kind of get things back on track, a little time to grieve, a little time to, of course, he knew where John was. I mean, he didn't grieve like we grieve just on the human side of things. And so, but he was really had a even Jesus himself, I can see, where at times he wanted to get refocused on the task at hand. John P. Robinson, he's called America's time guru, claims that people today sleep a lot more than they think. And also, they have more leisure time than ever, yet still people today feel stressed, rushed, and crunched for time. That's what we feel like in society today as a whole. And the problem, they have a name for it, it's called overchoice. It's called overchoice, and it's caused by the sheer number of options available to fill our time and the realization that no matter what we choose, we are still leaving something undone. Now, I mean, that pretty much describes it right now. We got so many irons in the fire, they're all getting hot at the same time, and we're trying to pull them out just as fast and go on about what we got to do with it. We've got choices on choices on top of choices what to do to fill our time, but we still have that realization that we've left something undone. So we think about focus from this point of view, that focus can be a good thing, focus can be a bad thing. It just depends on what you focus on or who you focus on that would affect that. And, whatever, focus has an effect, it causes, and there's a cause and effect. Whatever, when we focus on something intently, it causes us to lose sight of other things. Everything else will become kind of blurry. I'm going to give you a little demonstration. Now, everybody kind of hold your hand up in front of your face just a little ways and look up at me. Look up here at me with your hand up here like this. Make sure your hand's blocking some one half of your face. All right, now look at me. Stare right at me real hard with your hand up there. Your hand gets kind of blurry, don't it? You can see me really good, but your hand's kind of blurry. Now focus on your hand. And you're still looking this way. You can see me, but I'm not very clear. You're looking at me, and if you kind of get, you got to have your head looking this way. You look at your hand just a little bit, like I can see you out there, but you all are blurry. But you see your hand. See how that does that? So whatever we focus on intently causes everything else to become kind of blurry. Now that's can be good or bad. If we're focusing on Jesus Christ and the rest of the world is becoming blurry, that's a good thing. If we're focusing on something else in the world, anything, many things, we focus on that and we're not focusing on Christ, then he's going to become blurry. He's going to become fuzzy, and we're not going to have and pay as much attention to what is going on with him. And so, we can lose focus a lot of times in life of the main thing. I think Jesus knew that. And so, he had some times, there were several times that he went alone. He went into a mountain alone to pray. Sometimes he went to the Garden of Gethsemane alone to pray. Because listen, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus came to earth on a mission. He came on a mission, and I'm going to tell you what it wasn't. The mission wasn't to meet every little single need and whim that you and I have, to be a 911 service for every little problem and crisis that we have that comes along on life. He came on a mission, and that mission was, of course, and God's a multitasker. I understand that. Jesus came on the earth, and he showed the love of God. He came on the earth. He showed the holiness of God. He came on the earth, and he told them about the judgment of God. I understand all that, but his main goal, his main mission was to come onto the world, and he was going to die for the sins of the whole world. He was dying for your and my sins. That was the main thing. He did some other stuff along the way, but he never got off of that track. He was on that track focusing on what God wanted him to do. John 6:38, he said, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." That's why I came. That was my whole goal. He said in John 12:27, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this this came I unto this hour. For this cause came I unto this hour." I can't read my own right. "For this cause came I unto this hour." And so, I started looking at that verse and I thought, man, what a picture of the humanity of Christ. He said, "Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour." Oh, I mean, he said it didn't matter. This is my goal. This is my purpose. It's a great picture of the humanity of Jesus there, that he still struggled with the Father's will. Not that now he doesn't struggle like we struggle. We will fail. He would. He wouldn't. But there was a battle going on in his humanity about going to the cross, and I can't blame him. No, he knew what it was. He knew what it was like. And I think sometimes that, and maybe many times, the difficulty of a task, the cost of a task, the sacrifice of a task can cause us to lose focus. We can start, if Christ had have only focused on the suffering, the pain, if he'd have focused on, the humiliation, he probably wouldn't have went. He would have went. But you know what I'm saying? If there was a possibility that he could fail. That's what keeps us a lot of times. We can focus on the wrong part of it. I mean, what he focused on was us. He focused on the prize that prize that was set before him. That cross that knew that he was going to die and pay the penalty for our sin. He kept looking at the end result instead of what was going to happen along the way. And so I think he knew it, and he sent his disciples apart, and he went out on a mountain to pray. And I want you to know, he knew how to pray. This wasn't a mealy-mouthed, weak prayer. This was an intense, sincere, deep, lengthy prayer. He wasn't going into the mountain to go on vacation, He was getting, it was some work. It was some refocus. It was some reconnection there with his main task. And so I just want to look at just a few things tonight, some basic things really that cause us to lose focus from a biblical point of view, lose focus on our calling. And I understand, listen, I know there's a lot of people in Christianity, they don't even understand they have a calling. They don't understand that they're an ambassador for Christ. They don't understand that they've been commissioned by Jesus Christ to go into all the world and preach the gospel. They think salvation's it. This is the end. Nothing else is required. There's nothing else God wants me to do. And we're all at different places. Listen, you don't have to be, have a master's degree of divinity to take the gospel out to people that, you just talk to somebody on your level on what you know. What has Jesus Christ done for you? Give them what you know. That's all God expects us to do. Look at that. Like I said, there's people in the Bible, they didn't even have a Bible. They were out there, they got saved, and all they did, they run and tell them about what Jesus did for them. What Jesus did. They didn't know. They didn't have anything about theology and doctrinal statements and, eschatology, soteriology. They didn't have all that. They just went, they didn't even know what that was. I can't even spell it. they didn't know what to do, man. They just went out and they just said, "Look, this is what Jesus has done in my life." I like that one blind man in the Bible. I think we were talking about it last week, or I heard preaching. I can't remember. It all gets fuzzied up in my head sometimes. But maybe we were doing it on Wednesday night. I don't remember. But anyway, the one blind man that got healed, And then the Pharisees just were questioning whether he was really the guy. And this, and they questioned him. They said, well, I think this man's a sinner. And that blind man said, well, I don't know if he's a sinner or not. All I can tell you is I was blind, now I see. That's all I can tell you. And I mean, that's what you need to know. That's what you do. You tell somebody about Christ. I mean, he got on the main thing. So there's some things, like I say, that can cause us to lose focus. And we'll look at them through the text and a few other texts in here tonight. And number one, I don't know if it's number one in priority or where it works out, just number one way I've got it written down. People. People can cause you to lose focus. You know, like I say all the time, pastor's got a little funny little joke, you know, the ministry wouldn't be bad if it wasn't for the people. You know, that's what we like to say. But we wouldn't have a ministry if it wasn't for the people. But listen, people can get you off track as far as ministry goes. We were studying on Wednesday night. We're looking at some things on Wednesday night, Philippians, and we found out that people can be joy robbers. I know it's hard for you to believe going to this church that this could happen, but other places it does. People can be joy robbers. They can steal your joy. But I want to tell you, people can be focus robbers as well. And, you know, Jesus there, he sent the multitudes, it said, he sent them away. At the end of he tried to get away from them the one time, but he did have some compassion. But when the evening came, listen, he fed them. He knew that would do it. You throw a bone out there, a dog's going to. I mean, so he threw the food out. He got the food out. He sent the disciples across, and he went away. He got away from the people, and he went alone, and he got and pray. And I thought about it. I bet you that there was people that still had needs. I bet you in that multitude of people that day that there was people that still had some needs. That everybody didn't get healed. There was people that might have still been lost. But listen, Jesus couldn't spend that. That wasn't his main goal. His main goal wasn't to come down. I mean, it was for the lost, but his main goal wasn't to heal everybody. That wasn't, I mean, he healed a lot of people, but that's not why he came into the earth. He came to the earth to die for our sins. Matter of fact, if you were lost, you couldn't get saved until he got to the cross, so he couldn't get off that track. He had to stay on the track. He did help a lot of people along the way. And I think a lot of times there's several places in the Bible where Jesus did some healing and dealt with people and dealt with crowds. And he healed, you know, blind people and beggars and lepers and all that. But I believe that there was some always left over. He even talked about the poor. He said, listen, the poor, you're always going to have the poor with you. He said that. You're always going to have poor people with you. I mean, we can't do it. And so I thought about that day when he was on his way to the cross and he started going. He was on the way going through Jericho, I believe, and there was Zacchaeus up there in the tree. And he was up there in the sycamore tree. Right, sycamine says in the Bible. Sycamore tree. And Zacchaeus, he said, come down. And he stopped along the way and talked. He said, today salvation's come to thy house. I'm going to tell you what, I believe there was tons of lost people all up and down that thing that was throwing the palm tree down. Most of them probably were lost. Most of them were lost. Why he stopped for Zacchaeus, I don't know. That's in the providence of God. Just for him right there, there was other people that need to be saved. He'd have been there. He'd still been there. If he'd have still been dealing with everybody, going to everybody's house, having lunch and leading them, talking to them about salvation and their need to trust him. And so I think he just stayed focused on this one mission that God the Father had him on. And, you know, I know I'm not trying to sound like I don't have compassion. I know that we have to show the love of God, and I know that we ought to help people that need help a lot of times. You know, we need that. I didn't say want help. I said need help. We need to help them. And I know that we can help the hungry and we can clothe people that don't have clothes and they're cold and all that. But that isn't the main thing for us either. That the main thing is to share, you know, the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We're supposed to teach them about Jesus Christ because that's going to be the greatest need they have. Great. Most of the people I know could miss a few meals. It wouldn't hurt them any. We can miss some meals. Our main thing, listen, we can do those things, but we get a lot of times in ministry and churches, we get top heavy on the one thing and forget the main thing. We do everything but what God intended for us to do. And if we do, because we have lost track on that. You can go on television, man. You got these ministries. They're all they ever yap about. Oh, we're going to have a big healing service. You know, everybody come in, get healed. That's all they talk about, getting healed. Man, listen, if that's all you're going to do, go to the hospital. That's full of sick people. Go down there and take care of them, but they don't do that. All they talk about is that. They're not talking about your need for Jesus Christ. I mean, they get focused on that, and then there's medical mission. We're going on a medical mission. I mean, you know, it's good if you can go help somebody medically and all that. Here's a couple aspirin. Take two of these. Call me in the morning. I don't know what else to tell you. I'm not a doctor. But, I mean, that's not our main mission. Our main mission isn't the physical needs of somebody. Even though we can meet them, we can help people out that's got physical problems, pray for people like that, but that's not the main mission. The main mission is to be an ambassador for Christ. The main mission is to preach the gospel, teaching all nations, baptizing them. I mean, that's the main mission. I mean, there's people that they need to be clothed. There's people they don't have. Winter's coming. They don't have coats. Okay, help them out. But that's not the main mission, man. We can't get off of that. You're losing focus if you're looking at that and Jesus is over here in the peripheral somewhere. He's fuzzy. No, you need to be looking at Jesus and take care of the fuzzy when you can, but you got to stay on the main thing, and that's Jesus Christ. And so, like I say, these are good, but it's not our commission. And so, even though Jesus met a lot of physical needs, his main focus was the cross. I mean, that's where he just kept going. He had to have some time. And I'm going to tell you what, he didn't let people's others' needs keep him from it. And like I said, you know, he didn't die on the cross to feed the whole world. He didn't die on the cross to clothe the whole world. He died on the cross to save the world from their sins, to pay the ultimate price, the sacrifice for their sins. That was it. And so, you know, he stayed on a track. So sometimes I think people can take us away. People can sap up your energy sometimes. I mean, in the ministry, man, you spend so much time, and I'll get on one of them here in a little bit, a little later in the people department in another point, but people can get a lot of your time and energy and just suck all that up, and you know, you don't you can't focus on the main thing. Listen, if I got to come over and hold your hand about how you got your feelings hurt or something like that, and I got to hold your hand and, you know, spend a bunch, somebody else is lost and they're not hearing the gospel that I could be telling about Jesus Christ, right? So people can get you off track. Another thing is things. Just things. And we got plenty of things, right? I like the story of David and Goliath. That's a good, I even like to preach on a lot of those real familiar stories. A lot of stuff sometimes we don't see. But David and Goliath is a good one. Remember David? Young boy, had a bunch of brothers. You know how the story goes. All the brothers are down there, going to be in the battle with the Philistines. Goliath is coming out in the morning, and every day he comes out and he curses God's people, and Saul and all the rest of them are up there shaking. Oh, I can't do it. Got to do it. Shaking in their boots. They're all nervous and they don't know what to do. And he's cursing them and they're walking, you know, every day, day in, day out. You know, David's father said, hey, listen, you know, your brother's been down there a long time. Here's some cheese and wine and stuff. And go on down there and see how it's going. So he had some sheep he was watching. He left those little sheep behind. And he went on up to the battlefront. And, you know, David was a man after God's own heart. God had already said that about him before this ever took place, and he was a young man. He got down there at the battlefront. He said, what's going on? I'm paraphrasing all this. What's going on? Goliath's down there cussing, 9'9". You know, got all that big stuff on. He's down there cursing God's people, man, and everybody's up there, man, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? David comes up, what are y'all doing, man? We're God's people. What are you guys doing? What were they focusing on? 9'9". I mean, 9'9", they focusing on the big man. What should they have been focusing on? God. Should have been focusing on God. I mean, but they're focusing on this giant. And they're focusing on the obstacle, and they're focusing on the problem, and they're focusing on, like, what might happen if you go down there and fight that guy. And David's saying, listen, man, God is big. He goes, man, what are you? And his brothers, they get all riled up about it. And remember what his brother said? He goes, what are you doing down here? He kind of criticized him. You know, he said, what are you doing down here? So I know what you're doing. You're just coming down here to see what's going on. Who's watching those few sheep? Who's watching those sheep? And David's really thinking, and David's saying, look, this guy's defying the armies of the living God. This guy is cursing God's people. I don't give a hoot about them sheep. Them sheep aren't important. But that guy was just using that excuse. He's focusing on worrying about sheep. You think David went down there worried about the sheep? I don't think he's worried about the sheep. That was a thing. There's a bigger issue here. God's battle. God's fight. You worried about them stinking sheep? I guarantee you, when I preach on this, I always point this out. It doesn't say that his father got anybody else to watch the sheep. But I'll bet you, When it was all said and done, he done lopped off Goliath's head, the whole thing was over with. I bet when he went back, how many of you want to think any of them sheep was missing? Huh? I mean, I bet he gained a few while he was gone. He going, man, I went down there and we had 25 and now we got 30, man. I don't know what happened. Huh? I believe that God watched over them sheep the whole time. He took care of them sheep, man. I think he, you know, he watched over them. He took care of the things, right? But David said, listen, I'm not going to focus on sheep. We got a bigger problem going on over here with this knucklehead, Goliath. He went down there and slew him, man. And the great thing, you knew God had to do it. I mean, David was just a little skinny boy, tried on Saul's armor. That wasn't going to work. Got his sling, went in there and got 5 stones. Somebody said, how come he needed 5 stones? They said because Goliath had some brothers. He had 4 other brothers or something like that. That was in case they came down there. He got him on the first shot, by the way. Didn't have to sight it in, did he, Randy? Huh? Didn't have to sight that thing in. Shot it in. And so I believe that, listen, you know, we get focused on the things sometimes, and then Jesus becomes blurry because we're looking at those things. We see it going on now. It's going on in Christianity. It's going on in churches. It's going on in the world today. And I've seen times or things more often than not become more important to God's people than God's agenda. That's what I see. Well, preacher, man, I know I ain't been down there to church, but I just, you know, I just been so busy. I've got to take care of this, and I've got to take care of that. All this going on, and you know, I'm just busy. Is it really more important than Jesus Christ? Really more important than his agenda? No. No, it's not, but you got focus in the wrong place. You know, Moses was watching sheep. I talked about Moses just a little bit this morning, right? Remember that burning bush? Moses was he was watching sheep in the burning bush. I talked about it this morning. It was up there burning on the side of the mountain. You got a burning bush that's not being consumed, and you got a bunch of sheep you can stand there and look at. Which one of them you want to watch? Huh? I mean, you know, you've been looking at sheep for 40 years. Now you got a burning bush. I'm going to look at the bush. You know, he says, man, I'm not worried about the sheep. All of a sudden, he got focused on something that had to do with God. And he didn't. And after that, he didn't give a hoot about the sheep any longer either. And the Bible, listen, is not full of stories about people who focused on things. The Bible's full of stories about people that focused on God. Amen. The Bible's not telling us about, boy, this guy was really consumed. Now, there's some people mentioned in the Bible, not in a positive light, that focused on things instead of God. And we're going to meet one of them here in just a little bit as we go a little farther in the lesson. So we got, people can get us off focus. Things certainly can do that. And then we have circumstances. Circumstances can get us off of focus. We were talking about even on Wednesday night. Circumstances is another one of the things that's a joy robber. We were talking about, listen, man, on Wednesday night, we were this is good, it fits in here really good. We were sharing this, like, how many times in life are circumstances perfect? Is everything just perfect? Probably never, seldom, never, right? So if we're going to have to wait for that for joy, then we're probably going to look like y'all look right now most of the time. You know, give them a short turnaround, show them face. Huh? I mean, we're going to look like, this is what we're going to look like most of the time. You know, if we're waiting on circumstances to be perfect. We can't let circumstances take our joy or we'll never have it. This is always something coming or going or in the middle of it, right? Same thing with focus on God. I mean, we can't let the circumstances get our focus off God. Just face it. I mean, most of us that got any age to us, we know there's going to be a circumstance of some kind going on all the time. It's just something going on all the time. A big old pot just stirring in it, you know, all the time. Don't let it get your focus off God. I mean, you know, that's the way it is. And so circumstances are attention getters. For sure. They get your attention off of God. When we look at our text that I'm reading along right down below where I read there, you know, I didn't read that far. It says Jesus was there alone. It says, but the ship, I like that word, but, verse 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, and for the wind was contrary. And this is where, Peter wanted to walk on the water. You know the story there. And they had fear and all that. And I started thinking about it, looking at that when it said, but, the word but, it doesn't say so, but I believe that those circumstances of that storm had got those disciples' attention. I think maybe they were holding a little prayer meeting before Jesus got down there to them, and that's why he came to them. I think that they were praying and said, man, we got a storm going on. But you got to think about this. And I'm not saying it's good to pray. I mean, if I'm in the middle of a storm, I'm probably going to be praying too. But Jesus sent them over there, right? Think about this. See, you gotta stay focused here. Jesus is not up there thinking, watch this, man. Jasmine, you and Dominique, go ahead and get in that rowboat and start rowing across Lake Yaya. And he's up there with the other people in heaven. Hey, watch this. Get a load of this, man. I'm going to get a storm going, man. That girl's going to be screaming like a girl here anyway. Yeah, watch this. And then you start getting in the middle, and you're out there screaming, and everybody up in heaven's going, Man, that's great, man. I mean, that's not what God's doing. God's not up there doing this to you, sending us to a place for failure. You know, he wanted us to fail. Now, he might send us to a place like that to get him to call on him or get us to pray or to get us to trust him, but he's not up there thinking, hey, I'm just going to torture him a little bit. Watch him getting sick over the side of the boat. You know, I mean, he's not doing that. I mean, he's not up there sending us to bad for a bad reason, right? You got to always keep thinking about that. God wants us to succeed. He wants us to learn. He wants us to, you know, to glean from that. He wants us to, you know, stay focused on him. I think sometimes God got to send you in a circumstance like that to get you focused back on him. Sometimes it has a negative effect. Some people run away from God when a bad circumstance comes, but some people draw closer to him, and God knows, and I mean, he does it. So we have to have, we see that, and then, of course, they had fear, I believe that, And then, of course, Peter, you know, they came down there, and, of course, he said, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. I don't know if they were afraid for the fear or but the fact that they saw Jesus out there walking on the water. And then, of course, you know, the old story with Peter. You know, Peter said, Lord, I want to walk on the water. I'm going to come to you. And Jesus said, come on. And Peter got out, and he actually did walk on the water for just a little bit. But it said the storm was boisterous in a way. And what happened? Where did he start focusing? Started looking on the water. Started looking at the water instead of looking at Jesus. Started going down. I'm going to tell you something about driving a car. A lot of people need to know something about driving a car. I can tell you that right now. I see them all the time. If you're driving a car and somebody else is coming at you, don't look at that car. Don't look at that. Look over here at this side of the road. Look at the far side, because if you look over there, you're going to drive right over there into them. And a lot of people do. Man, I have to just about go off the road every time I go down Springwood or over there. Some knucklehead's coming across in my lane. They're looking up. If you start looking one way, that's the way you end up going a lot of times. Look, you know, focus on the road, not the car that's coming the other way. And, you know, Peter looked at the storm and then he looked at Jesus. And, of course, he started to sink as he focused on the wrong thing. You know, a lot of times people, they get afraid of witnessing. You know, they say, man, and this goes along with the Lord not wanting us to fail. Lord doesn't want us to fail. He wants us to succeed in what he calls us to do. God gave us a great commission, called us to go in all the world, preach the gospel, talk to people about him, teach all nations, baptize, and he told us that. That's our commission. He's not telling you to do that so you'll fail. He's wanting you to succeed. He's wanting us to win the world to himself. He wants us to do that, okay? So a lot of times people say this. This is what they say. Oh, I'm afraid. Way down inside, people say, well, I'm afraid. I'm afraid I won't know what to say. I think it's not an intentional lie, but it's not the truth. The truth is, you're not really afraid that you won't know what to say. You're afraid of what they're going to say when you start talking to them about Jesus. Let's just get it real. Get it right down to Brad. You're not afraid. Most of y'all have been in church long. You know what to say. You're not afraid of it. You won't know what to say. You're afraid of what they're going to say. But if Jesus is sending you, if God has laid somebody on your heart and he's sending you, does he want you to fail? Does he say he's going to be with you? Does he say he's going to put the words in your mouth? Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, you can go on with it, but you got to focus on what? The main thing. Focus on what God wants us to do. He's going to send us. He's going to be with us. The Bible tells us to take no thought, which is the modern day, or that's the old way of saying, don't worry. Huh? Remember? He said, consider the lilies of the field. Huh? They don't toil, they don't reap. Men, you know, but even King Solomon in all his glory wasn't arrayed like one of these. Huh? The ravens. Eh, ravens aren't out there. We got a bunch of them around our house. They're not sweating the load about what they're going to eat tomorrow. God's going to provide, right? They're not worried about it. God's going to provide for them. Why? Because he made them. That's why. They know that. Take no thought. Listen. He said, what you're going to eat, what you're going to put on, what you're going to wear, what is that? those are things that probably, this has probably been better in the things department, but I got it in the circumstance. It's in the things department. Don't worry about them things. God says, I know you got a need on them. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Focus on the kingdom of God. And he said, these things I'll add unto you. That'd be better under things, and said, sir. These things I'll add unto you. Think about that. He said that you got to believe. You got to believe the word of God. Focus on him. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. These things I'll add. And then the next point is self. Paul was writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:10, and this is what he said. Here's one person in the Bible that it's not, the Bible's not full of people like this, or in this, or it's not has stories about them in it, but it does mention them. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia, unto Dalmatia. Demas hath forsaken me. This guy was a church member, and he was faithful at one point in time. He was serving Paul. Man, what a privilege. I mean, you're serving Jesus Christ. You're saved by Jesus Christ. You serve him. But at this point in time, he's also helping, serving with the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul. I mean, man, he had a place of privilege. He got his name mentioned in the Bible, but it's not good. He said he hath forsaken me, man. I mean, this guy was a fellow laborer. Matter of fact, earlier in the scriptures, it talks about him being a fellow laborer, but now it doesn't say Demas the fellow laborer. He just says Demas. He was a fellow laborer for the Lord with Paul. But what happened was, it said, having loved this present world, he got his eyes off of Jesus Christ and he started looking out here in the world and he started looking at all kind of things. When we see this, man, there's people now in every church, I can preach this in any church in the world today. We got them, every church has got them. People that used to be faithful, they used to come and they were on fire for God, and now they've done fallen by the wayside. They're out there in the world, I'm going to tell you something. You know, so many people say, well, I just don't have a desire. I'm going to tell you why you don't have a desire, because you lost your appetite, because you don't feed on the Word of God. You're not reading the Word of God. Without a doubt, without fail, 1,000% of the time, to show me somebody that's out in the world and somebody that don't have a desire for God, and somebody don't have a desire for praying, and I'm going to tell you what, they're not reading their Bible, I can tell you that right off the bat. They're not in the Word of God, and they're not in prayer with God, not in any serious prayer with God. I'm going to tell you, it happened. There's nobody on God's green earth, unless they are physically unable to do so, something else wrong with them, that is in the Word of God and praying like they ought to be, praying to God, have fallen out of church somewhere. I mean, that just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. And so here's this guy. He loved his present world. He loved to rip. He loved to run. I don't know what it was. He might not have been doing any sinful things. Like, man, I just kept looking at this bar every time I went by it, and I finally had to go. I'm not saying that's what it was. Could have been. Just said he loved his present world. He might have loved entertainment just a little bit more than now he started loving the Lord. He started looking at that instead of focusing on Jesus. It might have been that he loved his cows and he had to go out there and milk them all the time. It might have been that he loved his farm, or he loved his house that he was building, or that he loved his family more than he did Jesus, or it might have been he loved his job more than he did Jesus. Something out there in the world, he got focused on that instead of Jesus Christ. And now he has left the ministry. Forsaking him, man. Paul can't do nothing with him. Paul can't even use him. He said, you know, because he talked about that. He said, Demas had forsaken me. He loved this present world. And then he just talked about some other people that might have departed due to ministry needs. It didn't say they had forsaken him at all. Man, I mean, here he's gone. He said, I can't use him. As a matter of fact, I think he was writing for Timothy to come on. I mean, I think I need somebody, you got to come and help me, because this guy done took off and left because he loved this present world. Fell by the wayside. He didn't lose focus. Listen to me. He didn't lose focus. He changed focus. Instead of looking at Christ, started looking at that. Started staring at something else. Something in the world right there. Instead of the world becoming blurry while he's staring at Jesus Christ, Jesus became blurry as he was staring at the world. Didn't lose focus. He changed focus. And I don't know how many times, listen, I've heard people say, listen, like I said before, oh man, I mean, where you been? I've just been so busy. I'm doing this and I'm doing that. Man, I wish that God's people would get that busy for God. You know what? You know what? Look, folks, I mean, I'd love to come over to the picnic with you, man, but I got something to do for God. Man, I'd love to rip and run and do all that and have all that fun, but I'm too busy. I'm too busy to go on vacation because I'm serving God. I'm too busy to go and do this and that and everything else. I'm too busy to work on my car because I'm serving God. I'm too busy to work on anything else because I'm serving God. I mean, I wish some people, how come that never happens? Everybody gets too busy to serve God because of all the stuff that's going on in the world. When do you ever find somebody that is too busy to do anything else in the world because they're serving God? Huh? Boy, we get in the right focus then. Won't we be in the right spot? And I mean, Jesus isn't saying, listen, he had a time to get alone and get in the mountain. I know you got to have some time to do all that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if we're top heavy, it's not that direction. Huh? I mean, very seldom in a church say, look, brother, man, you just got to slow down. You're just doing too much for Jesus. Look, I think we need to send you on a vacation, man. You need to, you don't do that. You get ready to send somebody on vacation. You probably the day you're going to tell them they already on vacation. You can't find them, man, when it comes to that. Listen, I mean, that's just the way it is. And Jesus said this. He said, listen, not my will. Remember the story of Martha and Mary? And man, Jesus came to the house. And Martha was really cumbered about with trying to get all the food ready. You know how women are good about this. I mean, man, they want the house looking nice. And people come. And, man, they get in there. Sherry, my wife, she does. When the family comes over, she's in there slaving over a hot microwave. I mean, man, but she, she wants to get all the food and make sure you got something to drink and make sure you got something to eat. Man, get that food and we got this and all that, But Jesus was in the house and Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha kind of got aggravated. You know how it is. I know she gets mad at her daughter and daughter-in-law sometimes, but I mean, I'm just, I'm teasing you. My daughter's here. But she was kind of worried about it, and she said something to the Lord, said, Lord, don't you care that Mary's just sitting there, and I'm kind of busting my hump to get all this food out? Don't you care about that? And Jesus said to her, he said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. You're focusing on a lot of things. But one thing is needful. Focus. One thing is needful. And Mary had chosen that good part, which shall not be taken from them. Like I said, listen, if they didn't eat, it wasn't no big deal. They could have ate later. Jesus is sitting in the house. You better be sitting at the feet of Jesus, right? Jesus is in the house and worrying about macaroni and cheese and whatever else they're going to eat. I mean, that's crazy. Like, that's more important. I mean, Jesus appreciated her work. Everybody would appreciate it, but Jesus at the house talking. Mary's sitting at there listening to what he's got, that spiritual food. Man, she focused on Christ. I believe they would have got something to eat a little bit later on. I mean, man, listen, if he can feed 5,000 with the fish and the bread, man, he can make the bread appear, the fish appear. Huh? Manna from heaven, water from the rock. I mean, he could do it all. Right? Man, listen, this one thing is needful. That's it. We got a million things going on in our life, man. I mean, I got to listen. Ralph said, we're going to paint the thing. Well, listen, man, tomorrow's my day off. Man, listen, I got to do this tomorrow, and I got to do that, and we're going to do this, and maybe later in the week, and it's going to, and we got stuff, we got a million things right now. When we get out of here, listen, our mind going to be, you're probably already thinking about it. I got you focusing on the wrong thing. You're already thinking, man, tomorrow's going to hit, boy, at a certain time tonight, we got to get home, got to do some stuff tonight, probably most everybody got to do something, got to get ready, for tomorrow, and then tomorrow, man, we're going to rip and run. We got to do this. We got to go there. We're going to come back, and then this has got to be going on, and we got to do that, and I got to check on this, and I got to make a phone call about that, and da-da-da-da-da-da. We got a million things. We think we got to do it. There's one needful thing. There's one thing. That's our relationship with Jesus Christ. Focus on Him. And that one thing is also, and it's doing what, listen, we don't have to pray about whether we ought to witness or not. I mean, He's already given us that commission. That's what we got. That's the most needful thing. Like I say, we don't have as many people tonight as we had this morning. Most churches don't. Because a lot of people, they got, but there's one needful thing. There's one needful thing is worshiping God, right? Is focusing on Him and focusing on His Word. That's it. We gotta stay focused on Jesus Christ. Let's all stand with our heads bowed.